And Deacon Sandoval looked, and there were three young girls in beautiful white Mexican dresses with three miraculous medals in front of them. And they looked at him and said, "These are for you." That's just a portion of this amazing story that you have to hear about. In the book, The Miraculous Medal, Pendant of Power, there are so many stories that showcase the graces that God is pouring out right now in our world through the Miraculous Medal. You and I need grace more than ever, and not just you and I, but every human on the planet. And God wants to use the Miraculous Medal to bring these graces to all of us. If you want to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Now let's get into this.
Thinking about that, I thought it was interesting how you said that you were sitting in a group surrounded by apostles of the Miraculous Medal. Tell us about that. Who were some of those people, maybe especially any of those that you interviewed for this book?
So that was how I first learned about it. And I thought, well, maybe there's some modern stories in this group. I had an inkling that maybe I was supposed to write them down. That's what God does, right? I didn't think, oh, I need to write a book on the Miraculous Medal. I thought, well, this is interesting. And one of the people, a lovely Hispanic woman, she was in the car with her husband. And this is funny. I don't want you to put on a Miraculous Medal and try to get out of speeding tickets, but just simple things. Like she said, she always carries one and gives it to people. And her husband was driving 90 miles an hour to pick up his parents from the airport, and the police pulled him over, and he should have gotten a ticket. You're driving 90 miles an hour on the freeway. And so they are scrambling, she and her husband, digging in her purse, trying to get a medal to the cop. hold on, we got something for you. And she looks up and she hands it to him, and he starts to glow, the cop does. And he's very thankful for the medal. And he says, "You know what? I'll escort you to the airport. It's important for you to see your parents. Follow me." That doesn't happen. Doesn't happen.
and you know, it's funny because those ordinary things like that, that's exactly God's grace. Sometimes, and in some of the stories, it's things that are really spectacular. But those ordinary things, that is for sure God's grace to move that cop's heart, to not only give them a ticket, but then to say, "Let me escort you. Let me make it easier for you to get there." That's amazing.
Yeah. So that happened in the group. And another woman, it turns out, I wrote down what she did to get involved with. She started handing them out in parishes, in adoration chapels. She just was very compelled to be, as I said, an apostle of the Miraculous Medal. And so I didn't know that St. Teresa of Calcutta was an apostle of the Miraculous Medal. I didn't know that St. Maximilian Kolbe was an apostle of the Miraculous Medal. And then things started to happen where I visited a deacon who's become a friend in San Francisco and learned how he became an apostle of the Miraculous Medal. I didn't even know there was such a thing as a person who's really called by the Blessed Mother to spread this grace to whomever and to go to great lengths to make sure that the medal gets in as many hands as possible in this lifetime. And it's a noble, worthy, beautiful thing. And I have no doubt that such a person isn't rewarded tremendously by heaven for doing that kind of work.
I mean, I would think that to be called an apostle in any way would be such an honor, but especially of something as beautiful as this, because you're like an ambassador on behalf of the Blessed Mother. I mean, it's really difficult, if not impossible, to think of something more beautiful. I mean, who would it want to have that kind of to have that reputation or to have that title here on earth and in heaven? That would just be something really amazing. Share with me a little bit about, I think, Deacon Sandoval. That was a story that was flipping through the book, and that was one that I kind of zeroed in on.
So yes, I met him in San Francisco. We were having lunch, and I said, you know, it seems to be that I'm being called to write about the miraculous metal, and I think I should find some more modern stories. And he looks at me and says, well, I'm an apostle of the miraculous metal. And so I thought to myself, okay, well, that's great. But like some of the stories out there that one can read, they can be rather boring. Oh, I handed the medal to Joe and he said, thank you. Yeah. I handed the medal to Jill and she started to tear up. Like those stories only go so far and wouldn't be in a book. So I expected something like that. But then I soon learned that Mary was at the helm of this and she knew that I would be talking to Deacon and some other people. And these were going to be phenomenal stories. So he starts talking and I whip out my phone and I'm starting to hit record. And he doesn't know yet that this might go into a book, but he just starts telling me this fantastic story of how he and his mom and his friend went to Mexico to the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And they were staying in a hotel near a big square in Mexico called the Zocalo. And Deacon was lying down, about to take a nap when a huge, dark, ominous, evil figure appeared over him and kind of wanted to strangle him. And he prayed. I believe he shouted out the name Jesus and it went away. And he got up and his mother knocked on the hotel door and she said, did you see that? And it had appeared to her as well. And so he said, we've got to go see Our Lady of Guadalupe now. The image that is a miraculous image in the basilica of the same very image that appeared on the cloak of Juan Diego, I believe it was 1530, when Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared to him on Mount Tepeyac. And so they go to the basilica, they take a taxi there, and they go to Mass, and on the way back, they don't go to Mass. They go see her image, and they're overwhelmed with gratitude, and they get in a taxi to come back to the hotel, and Deacon Sandoval feels this force moving him to get out of the cab, and he feels it's a benevolent force, and he says to his mom and friend, I'm going to walk the rest of the way. So he gets out of the cab, not sure why he's out, and he feels guided to go into this shopping area. And it's a long hallway. And in Mexico, they have lots of jewelry. They're known for their craftsmanship with it. And there's all these cases of jewelry that he's walking along this hallway. And he comes to the end of this shopping mall hallway, looks up, there's a big clock on the far end wall. There's a heavyset woman on his right dressed in a red dress. And right in front of him, there is a case, a jewelry case, but there isn't a bunch of jewelry in it, just three things. Three 2-inch high, beautiful, miraculous medals, one next to the other. And right directly behind them, three girls dressed in white, beautiful Mexican dresses, looking very pure and sweet, about age 7 or so, very young. And he looks down and one of the girls, the one in the middle, said, this is for you. We've been waiting for you. Or I think they say she's been waiting for you. And he says, oh, these are beautiful. And he reaches in his pocket to get some money. And the girl says, no, it's just free. And she goes, this one's for you, the one in the center, and the others are for your friends. And so he says, thank you. And he's walking back and he goes to this Mass near his hotel. And he's sitting there. And at this Mass, they have a sprinkling rite as a tradition. And he holds up the medal and the water hits him and it's like his spiritual senses wake up and he says, that wasn't normal. What just happened? And he runs back and he goes into the hallway of stores and he comes to the end. He sees the clock. He sees the woman in red. There's no case of jewelry. There's no three girls. There's nothing there. And he turns to the woman and he says, I remember you. And she says, I remember you. You were just here. And he said, well, where are the girls and the jewelry case? And the woman says, what girls, what jewelry case? We never have anything there. We always keep that area free.
Yeah, I remember. I mean, that's something that, like, out of a movie. I was thinking something out of like the Narnia movies or something, just so fantastical that you would think, wow, that, I mean, and from then on, because I read the story, it just becomes this amazing mission that God gives them, beginning with that incredible moment.
Yeah, it goes on. There's more to it that you can read, because it goes on for quite a while, and it doesn't get any less interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I read that story and I was thinking, I wonder if Christine, if this is a friend of Christine, because I have to meet that guy, or I have to go to San Francisco and have
he's
him.
He's a beautiful, beautiful man. He does deliverance ministry with the head exorcist in the Archdiocese of San Francisco. And he's just a wonderful, wonderful man.
Yeah.
Wonderful deacon. Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing that I think is amazing is that there's so many elements to the medal. One of it, on its most basic level, is this deeper connection with this Blessed Mother, with the Blessed Mother, with this love that she has for you, and vice versa. But then it has this kind of beautiful, I don't know if the right word would be, like, kind of aggressive element against evil, and then powerful element of kind of converting people. So a lot of the stories that drew me were ones like his. And also the strong history that it has in converting the Freemasons.